I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to Freddie and Mark.
This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009, and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
I'm not here around this week, but you may be, but I'm not.
You hungry?
Hey, Ma, bring us some meatloaf.
Think this is the greatest, I will fight you. That's no lie.
Make you clap for the killers.
All right, let's rock.
Give it up for them gangsters.
Throw them off that.
One time for the killers.
Whoa.
Double up for them gangsters.
Just look at the tree.
I am Bill Wayne, and welcome to Chicago Bulls.
I gotta be honest, I come in like a little, like, I'm trying to get my
parents
to
Yeah. Hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to NBA Finals edition of the Chicago Bullseye. Actually, Fred, maybe today we should do a special edition because we lost one of the greats today. Chicago Bull great Cameron Bearstow gets traded to the Detroit Pistons. Spencer Dinwiddie. This is big. This is big.
I can't believe we got something more than a stale box of donuts for him. I mean, I tweeted today the highlight of his career here in Chicago. At least I could tell my kids one day that I saw Cameron Dinwiddie shoot 73% in a pregame warm-up. And he was just incredible in that pregame. I never just shooting free throw line, layups, everything in that pregame warm-up. And I'll never forget what he did. And then he just sat on the bench for the remainder of the regular game. But it was just very impressive, and I'll never forget it. And I don't know how we're going to go on without him.
So that's the memory. That's the lasting memory that you are going to take from Spencer, or from Spencer, from Cameron Bearstow. God, how long was he here? He's probably here for at least 3 years because he was here throughout all of Snell's time here.
He completely sucked. He was one of the worst NBA players I've ever seen.
Yeah,
not just
bad.
Bulls, ever I've ever seen. I think he shot like 25 to 30. I think he shot under 30% this year for a big man that's about as bad as it can be. I mean, you pretty much, I think I could punt 25%. You know, just punt the ball up there and still hit about 25%. Guy was a disaster. And I just think it's a good sign that we were able to get something for him. Something that's, halfway adequate, I would say. What's your opinion of Dinwiddie?
I don't know anything about him. I mean, it's, frankly, Bearstow was terrible. So, he didn't do anything. So, as far as I'm concerned, I didn't know you could make trades at this time of the year. I don't know how they were able to do that because I thought that you couldn't start doing that stuff again until July. But I don't really have any thoughts on it. I was surprised that Bearstow stayed with us for so long. I'm sure Dinwiddie's going to be our 15th man. I'm sure he'll never get to play.
Mark, let me give you a little background on Spencer Dinwiddie. You ready?
You
ready for this exciting 4-1-1 Spencer? Spencer Dinwiddie, American professional basketball player. He was selected with the 38th overall pick in the 2014 NBA draft. He's a point guard. He's 6'6", 200 pounds, so he's very slightly built. He's first team All Pac-12 in 2013, so he went to, what college did he go to? Colorado. Played there 3 years. Born April 6, 1993, so that would put him, he's 27 years old, I think. 26 years old. Let's see what he do so far. NBA career statistics. Man, this is bad. 30. He's a 18% three-point shooter career-wise. He's 30% from the field. Whoa. I mean, that's horrific. Well, you know what?
Oh, I thought there was another whoa. When you were saying whoa, I thought you were about to unveil what the whoa was. I didn't realize those were the woes. Yeah.
Well, the good news is he shot 91% from the free throw line. So, if you can get fouled, things look good. But otherwise, forget about it.
Well, the defense for him is just to let him get to the basket and let him try to take a shot. He's not going to make it, so let's not worry about it. You know, Fred, I'm excited about this offseason because, normally when we get towards the draft and when we get to free agency, nothing that exciting ever really happens. And this season, this offseason, I'm expecting a very different team next year. So, and I don't know what direction we're going to go. You're hearing reports today that Rose could go to the Knicks. You're hearing reports that Boston and Minnesota are in Jimmy Butler. Who knows what this team's going to look like starting next year, but I anticipate they're going to look very different. So at least that's going to be exciting starting July 1st, man. Things, as a Bulls fan, it'll be fun to read the papers and see kind of what we put together out of this mess that we have right now.
Well, we could come back with the same team as is and expect, I mean, everyone should expect that we would be healthier this year. The team last year was one of the most injured teams in Bulls history. It was just a catastrophe after a catastrophe, and they still were 42-40. So I think you should legitimately expect, even with the departure of Gasol, that the team should still be, you know, playoff contender if they come back as is. That said, I don't
without
want
Gasol. Gasol?
Yeah, I don't
without
want
Gasol. Gasol? You really think without Gasol, this team's going to be nearly as good as they were last year?
I'm assuming that they're going to be healthier, number one, so that should be an improvement. And I'm assuming they're going to make some type of move to bring in a center. And when they do, I'm assuming that guy's going to be, you know, adequate. So, yes, I think the team with Rose and Butler, a healthier version of that team, could win 44, 45 games. That's option one. I think a lot of fans, I don't want that option. I want to tank. I want this team to be terrible because I want a high draft pick. I want to trade Rose. I want to trade Butler, and I want all the millennials to experience what I experienced for five straight seasons under Jerry Krause. I want you to experience that for 1 year. Because you're not going to get better unless you really get a high draft pick. So it's either one or number two. I'm fine with number two. I think getting a high pick, trading Butler for a high pick, and then expecting to tank this year and have a high pick next year is the best way to rebuild, because although I like Jimmy – I love him. I think building around Jimmy would be a mistake. I don't think the team could be good enough to win a title in a LeBron East. And I'm just going to stay here for – that's my preference, is go number two. I'm fine with number one also. I mean, I think that would be fun to come back next year, and I think we'd surprise some people, especially if we get a nice free agent signing, which is entirely possible, and we'll see what happens. But I'm going to go on record for number two and hope for some luck in the draft.
I don't see us coming back next year under any circumstances being better than we were this year. I know what you're saying about injuries, but we know already that Pau Gasol is not coming back, and we know that Joakim Noah is probably not going to be back. We have a huge hole down low. So the odds that we're going to replace it at least with as much offense as Pau Gasol is extremely low. You're going to need a certain type of big man down low. The problem, Fred, everybody has cap room this year, not just us. So I think these odds of getting a player are much, much, much less. Because in most free agencies, if it's us versus, you know, a handful of teams, small market teams, I think it looks pretty good. But when it's every single team out there that has money, even the good ones, why are you going to want to come to Chicago, especially after such a subpar year? So I don't see us getting any major pieces in free agency. I am not opposed to trading Jimmy Butler for a top two pick. But if it's not a top two pick, then Jimmy Butler's proven enough where I wouldn't do it for a three pick. So if it's Boston, I wouldn't do it for the Boston pick unless they're including some really good starters.
Well, hold on a second. All right, let's stop there. Because Boston's a realistic destination. They've had two or three or four straight disappointing, you know, postseasons. They're not going anywhere. They wanted Jimmy before. They'll want him now. They realize they need to make some kind of move because this team isn't good enough. Would you take Jay Crowder, the number three pick, maybe Avery Bradley, somebody like that, for Jimmy Butler?
I don't think so. I need a better starter. I need a starter that, because I don't see, you know, I don't know the draft well enough, Fred, but I do know this, is that most picks don't end up being good. Most. And it's really only those top picks, the really top two, that you're able to, that you could at least throw out a dice and say, okay, these guys might end up being, you know, the next thing. And I, you know, from everything I've read, this isn't an extremely deep draft class. I just don't see taking a pick unless you're getting a really good player with it. Like somebody said to me the other day, if the Timberwolves offered, I think it's the five pick is what they got, would you do it? And I said, if you're offering Andrew Wiggins with it, I mean, not otherwise, because I'm not going to take Butler's proven, and he's not old. So he's proven that he's an all-star. He's one of the best two-way players in the game. There's only a couple two-way players that are better than he is, like Paul George. Like, there's only a couple. He's ready
I'm not
to
even
you.
Sure. I'm not even.
If you draft a Jimmy Butler, you're a lucky guy. If you draft a player as good as Jimmy Butler, you're a lucky team. I mean, as long as you know, you're lucky. He's good. He's a good player.
I think Wiggins to me is a little bit overrated. I mean, that draft. Let's say it's Wiggins in number five. I actually would prefer Boston's number three, Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley, to Wiggins in the number five. I just think Wiggins has got a little bit too much love for what he's done. I don't think he's that. I think he's a good player. I think he's got the potential to be good. I don't think he's ever going to be better than Jimmy Butler. So I don't. I'm not as big on that one as I am the Boston one. I'd be curious to hear what most people say. Would you rather have number three, Crowder, who I think is so underrated? I think he's a fantastic defender. I really like that kid. He can play in multiple positions, and not only that, he can play LeBron somewhat.
But we're not going to be competing. You get rid of Butler, you're not competing. You're this team. If you get this pick, Fred. The player that is coming with him doesn't matter to me unless he's somebody you can build around. Because, look, do I think Butler's good enough to build around? No. But you can build around Jimmy Butler. If we get, Joe Crowder, he can't be the best player on your team. You're going to be terrible. So it's like, I don't care if he can defend LeBron James. I care that he's going to be around in 2 to 3 years when I finally put the pieces around him, God willing, to have a bit of a team with him. Because if you get rid of Jimmy Butler, Fred, you're not going to be good this year. You're not going to be good.
I agree with you. And that's part of the plan, man, to get a high pick.
It's not what it seems like to me, though. It seems to me like this team thinks that they – I mean, look, unless you – I mean, the taking method. Look at the Philadelphia 76ers. Look at the Sacramento Kings. Look at the Denver Nuggets. There's a lot of teams that have played this pick game. And they don't get the top pick, or they're not bad enough each year to get it, or they don't get lucky and get it, or whatever it is. It's very unusual. I mean, it's for teams to be able to be unbelievable. Look at the Cleveland Cavaliers and how terrible they were before LeBron came back. They got like three number one picks in the span of like four years, and yet that team was still not even close to a playoff team without LeBron James coming back to them. Look at the Philadelphia 76ers, how terrible they've been. They've had the number one pick now a couple times. They've had the worst record a handful of times. It's not getting them anywhere. You can't bank on that method, Fred. And I think that at the end of the day, it's easier to get free agents in Chicago if you're a competitive team. I think it's easier. I mean, we're one of those teams that you can kind of get them, I think, because of where we are. And if the guy you have is a guy like Butler, I think that in the next couple of years, you might be able to make a contender again. If you blow this thing up, man, you don't know what's going to happen. You need one of those guys. You need one of those franchise-changing guys. That's what you
need. I'm really kind of torn on it because I do like Jimmy. There's a ton of warning signs with him. I don't know if you heard that interview on Bill Simmons, which he had, that came out yesterday, I believe. But go to the Bill Simmons Show podcast. You can hear it. I mean, I thought it was a little bit bizarre or some interesting comments, but I thought the one that was disturbing was his kind of insistence that, or his seemingly insistence that it's not really important that he hits a three-point shot. And I mean, I couldn't disagree more. First of all, on this team, when Derek can't hit the three, you've already kind of proven it, Jimmy, that you could hit at a decent rate. I mean, hitting it at a 38-39% rate is almost imperative if Derek's still on this team. If you're going to come back and shoot the three like he did last year, and it sounds like he admitted he's average. He called himself average to below average as a 3-point shooter. If you don't think that's important in today's game, and that's not something you're going to really concentrate on improving on, I have problems with that because it's absolutely essential, especially for this offense and especially the way the modern NBA is. You got to have guys that hit the three. And I don't know. He's still playing like it's 2011. The team is structured like it's 2011. Not nearly enough shooting. Derek is not the player he was, and it's a little bit disheartening. So, I mean, I like Jimmy. I hope it works out. I hope, I hope whatever direction we go in, both parties end up better for it. But I'm open to – I just don't feel like we're going to win a title building around Jimmy Butler. And I think anyone else who believes that you can, when Jimmy is the best player in a team, I think you're kidding yourself. He's got to be the B guy. And, I don't
I'm not sure he wants to be the B guy. He will be the B guy or accept being the B guy. So I don't know, you know. It's just,
Brett, I think at the end of the day, if you want to, if your goal is to have many years of just great teams and just we're good all the time, then you never blow it up, because if you blow it up, you could be bad for a really long time. But if you want to win a title and that's your goal, then at the end of the season, the day you die, that you have, you know, more championships that you've lived through and watched and a lot more losing seasons versus having more winning seasons but less championships, then fine, you blow it up. Because if you look at every single, look at the two teams in the finals, look at all the best teams in the NBA today. The reason they're the best teams in the NBA today is they got lucky and they got that franchise player. You're never going to get a franchise player in free agency, unless you're the Miami Heat. I mean, it happens like once in a lifetime. It's just,
or the Cavs.
Or because he came back. But the Cavs only got LeBron because they got him in the first place. Who knows if LeBron wasn't drafted by the Cavaliers if he would have wanted to go back to the Cavaliers. You know, it's all luck. It's all craziness. We had ours with Derrick Rose. And Derrick, you know, whatever. His time is done. So it is what it is. But...
yeah,
we did about as good.
I kind of feel like we did about as good as you can in the team before that, the 2005-06-07 team that challenged the Pistons somewhat, that would get to the second round.
Yeah.
I think about it, you did about as good as you can without, you know, one of those top five lottery picks. And, well, yeah, I guess Ben Gordon was technically a third overall pick, but, you know, you did about as good
as you
can.
But never a franchise player.
No. I mean, pretty close, though. I still maintain he's underrated. Let's not get off on that tangent. But, you know, I think in order to get one of those top five picks, most teams aren't going to trade it.
Ever.
So you either got to get it in a trade or you got to bomb 1 year. Let's bomb.
But 1 year won't do it, though, Fred. The problem is that if we bomb this year, we don't – like, you have to really bomb. Even if you're the Lakers, you know, they got it. They got the two pick, but they only got the two pick. And it's like that was a very rare year for them. They suck last year, too. The guy that they got last year doesn't look like he's going to be all that. The fact is, you got to be willing to suck a lot. Maybe like a decade. Because you got to get a lot of picks. Some of them might not pan out or be who you wanted them to be. I mean, remember Tyrus Thomas, man. That was a top two pick, you know?
I think we're a little bit misguided as fans, as Bulls fans, just because we, you know, most fans hated this team so much and act like, oh, there's no hope, the cupboard's bare. You have some pieces that are desirable. Taj Gibson is a desirable piece by many teams. You can turn that into assets. Niko Mirotić is a desirable piece. It's kind of funny, like this year I kind of feel like everybody's down on Niko. I'm like the one guy that's up on him. And last year everybody was up on him, and I was the one guy who was down on him. I thought he improved greatly as far as shooting three, which is the most important thing for him. He improved tremendously in that shot. And by doing so, he had a rough year. He had appendicitis. What are the odds he's going to have appendicitis again? Zero.
So
his appendicitis
isn't there. Fred, if we got these pieces, why not try to see what we could do to try to make this team pretty damn competitive? Because at the end of the day, like, if you could maybe get that free agent that puts you over the top, like, you're not going to get a free agent that's going to create you from the ground up. But I feel like guys like Niko, like, we do have assets, man. And I'm not totally convinced that we need to blow this whole damn thing up.
Hold on a second. We signed Dwight Howard. How many wins do we get? How many wins do we have?
I think that he would give us some wins, man. I think that we'd be able to get a few more wins out of him because I think he was restricted in what he could do in Houston. I think that James Harden was kind of a hard-headed dude. I mean, Dwight Howard would bring defense, you know, interior defense. Now, how good of a defense, you know, I don't know. I don't know if we have the structure where he would thrive. I don't know. But I don't think it would kill us. I think it would help us. I mean, I'm not saying I want to get Dwight Howard, but I'm saying, like, dude, like, DeMar DeRozan's a free agent. Like, what if you got him and put him next to Jimmy at the three?
That's insane.
I mean,
that wouldn't work. You put DeRozan, who's not, again, no shooting. You got a point guard, a shooting guard, and a three. I mean, I guess I don't want to say it's insane. Obviously, the team would be good, but it's not. Is it going to be, you think it's good enough to beat Cleveland?
But is that it? Is that it, though, Fred? Is everything we do supposed to be to beat Cleveland? I know that people are probably listening to me say that.
Yes.
Like, of course it is. But it's not that easy. You can't just snap your fingers and go make a team that can go beat Cleveland. You have to get really lucky. So either you make yourself super ultra desirable by being good, which, Fred, over the last 10 years, we have been one of the better teams in the East every year. And when there's been free agents, we have been at the top of the list all the time. And I hate when people get all mad because LeBron didn't come here in whatever it was, 06. Or, you know, because we ended up with Paul Gasol instead of Carmelo, which ended up working out for us a couple years ago. The fact was, Paul was like the second most desired free agent. Carmelo, we were his number one. He went to the same team he signed with before. You know, the fact is, we were in the discussion. We were at the way top. What if one of those things went a different way, things could have been very different for us. Who knows? So my thing is, I kind of want to see, if you got talent, I think it's a shame you just let all the talent go. I think you could salvage this into something, because a year ago, Fred, we thought that we could win the East. And the only reason that I don't think we can win the East right now, what's the big difference, is that we know what Derrick Rose is. Joe Kingo is not good. We need to replenish our front court, and we do need more shooting. But I think that you could turn this team into something. I think that you could make a good team. I think you could.
I agree. I don't think you have any. There's no foreseeable way, unless LeBron gets hurt, that you could beat him.
Yes, sir. He's 31.
Maybe 31. With the exception of adding Kevin Durant, it's the only way you're going to beat LeBron. Mark, have you been watching these finals? I don't care how old he is.
The only way
he's not
LeBron
slowing
to get
down.
LeBron.
He's
you're right.
Like, what?
But the only way you're going to beat LeBron is to get LeBron. Lowe's beat LeBron. So it's like, why, our goal can't be to beat LeBron. LeBron's amazing. I'm seeing this too. You're right. But we're not going to be able to. I don't think LeBron can be stopped.
Oh, come on.
You can, with a decent team around him. These are two great teams. We're not going to be in the territory of these two teams in the next couple years. But I do think that we could be in the realm of being a top-tier team in the East for the next year or two.
Let's talk about the finals a little bit. I'm going to transition from the Bulls talk, which is just going to get me depressed because, you know, we're not going to be, we got to wait this out. Probably in 3 years, that's why I want to blow things up. In 3 years, we'll have a window where he's going to be old enough where we can beat these guys. You know, again, he could get hurt. You never underestimate that possibility, but it's unlikely since he doesn't seem to be affected by any injuries. What do you think of these finals so far? I mean, his performance, LeBron's performance, Game 6, was, and 5, frankly, were two of the most greatest performances I've ever seen. I mean, to me, he's clearly number 2 behind MJ now. There is such a gulf between him and anyone else. And Jordan is still clearly ahead of LeBron. But, man, oh, man, did he really put a hammer in the wall for, one of the best ever, and in my opinion, second best of all time. Just incredible performances.
I mean, I'm not willing to jump that far yet as far as saying that now he's all of us. Look, LeBron James needs to win games. He is the greatest player of this generation of basketball players. I think it's extremely evident in this series. You know, this season, people were hard on him. His statistics were like pretty much the same as they always are, but Cleveland wasn't tearing it up. People didn't think that he was as good as he was the season before. His three-point percentage was a little down. People were down on him, and they were all up on Steph Curry. And when you watch this series, man, there is no question who the best player in the league is. It's still the same guy. And when, you know, LeBron, I don't think he's got that MJ fire where he's just always night in, night out, just like whooping ass all the time. It doesn't seem to be the way he works. He needed 4 games in this series to get to that point. The fact is, if LeBron was that great, he shouldn't be in this position in Game 7. The team should not have been blown out 3 different times and not been competitive. You know, if he doesn't win tomorrow, like he has to win, or Sunday. He has to win on Sunday. If he wins on Sunday, then, yeah, you beat a team that won 73 games. You beat with the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's still a big asterisk next to this because he shouldn't be playing with Kyrie and Kevin Love. It all happened because he left, but whatever. The fact is, you win there, you won in Cleveland. It's not with those Yahoos in Miami where you had to go leave and form a super team. His legacy needs this. He had these 2 great games. If they lose this series, people aren't going to remember how great those games were, but those were 2 of the most unbelievable games I ever saw. Yesterday, I thought it was like 3 minutes left in the third quarter to like 2 minutes left in the fourth. LeBron scored or assisted on 35 of their points. He was their whole offense for such a stretch there, and it was just ridiculous when he gets like that, man.
I disagree with you. It's ridiculous. I don't think his legacy needs it anymore after those 2 games. I really think if he comes out and he has 30 points again, and because Kevin Love has brought nothing. He's brought absolutely nothing. He's been a complete zero. His only help in this series has really been Irving in Game 5. You know, he played pretty well again yesterday. But Irving had some really poor games also. I still feel like this is very similar You know, Tristan Thompson's had some nice moments, but it's not that much different than it was the year before where he did it all by himself. It's just the guy, if you really sit back and step and look at it, he's doing more with less than anyone but Jordan. And Jordan, definitely when Pippen finally got it going, it was clearly better than anyone LeBron's ever had. So I just feel like, even if he loses this, intelligent fans are going to realize that, man, this guy is incredible. He is something. And really, the only time I felt like he really, truly failed in the finals was in that loss to Dallas. That's where he, you know, was very bad, and that's where what really separates him from Jordan. Jordan never had anything close to that. You know, that's why Jordan's the greatest of all time. And, you know, like Jordan was ready to win a title in 1986 when he scored 60-plus against the eventual NBA champion, the Celtics. That's why Jordan's the greatest of all time. He did it every time. LeBron has fallen, but he hasn't fallen a lot. And no matter what happens on Sunday, his performances in games five and game six, to me, have really solidified him as the second-best ever. I mean, I had this argument.
He hasn't been like that the whole series. He hasn't been like that the whole playoffs. He hasn't had a lot. That's what LeBron James does at his best. But
who's better,
you don't see that.
Who's better?
There's nobody better. But what I'm saying is,
who would you put up?
Dude, LeBron doesn't play like this all the time. I don't want us to pretend like these last two games are indicative of who he is night in and night out. That's not who he is night in and night out. LeBron James has a lot of times been very passive in this series, earlier on in the series. I certainly blame him for those two blowout losses in Golden State. I mean, he was certainly a part of that. So, you know, Jordan, I don't remember us ever get. First of all, we never had Game 7 in a final, but I don't remember us ever even being getting blown out, not like this. I think maybe we had one. I think there was a Utah blowout or something. But like,
no, there was a blowout loss, and I had this argument. It was a loss against Seattle in 1990 when they were up 3-0. So they had the series already stole, you know, basically taken care of, and they lost game four of that series in a blowout. And you're already up 3-0. There's going to be a letdown. They still won it very easily overall.
Lost another game. They lost the next game,
but it wasn't Jordan's fault. The rest of the team sucked. It was Jordan played great in that game five, and then they won game six. So, you know, you're right. Jordan never got in a position to really lose a game seven. I'm trying to think. No, they never. The most they went in any series is six games. So,
dude, I want to say this, Fred. I want LeBron to do it. I'm not rooting against LeBron, but I need him to do it on Sunday. If LeBron does this on Sunday, your enthusiasm, the world's enthusiasm, it will change. If he wins the title, because he's able to do that, what he's done these last two games, if he can do that again on Sunday, people will be talking about LeBron James and this season and this playoff for till the end of time. It'll become a classic playoff series that you see highlights of years and years and years later. You'll see that, you know, when they're having the intros for the NBA Finals, it'll be this NBA Finals. If he pulls this off. If he doesn't pull this off, it's going to make me sad because I don't think you've seen greatness from the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs really at all. I don't think they've really been great. They're a really deep team, but their two best players, they go in and out. Now, I mean, they're really good. I love, you know, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, both really good players, but if it wasn't for the depth of that team, they wouldn't have gotten past Oklahoma City and they wouldn't be beating the crap out of the Cavs the way that they are. I mean, at the end of the day.
I disagree with that, too. The reason they got by Oklahoma City is because of Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Klay Thompson basically won game six, and Steph Curry had an incredible game seven.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is that, but that's why it was so close. If Curry had played better throughout that Oklahoma City series, it would not have gone seven. Curry was a disaster for a lot of games in that series.
Yeah, he hasn't played well, and you got to believe that he's not 100% healthy, and yesterday was almost embarrassing with how LeBron was toying with him, and you know, and especially in that defensive play where Curry tried to lay it up and he just blocked the shot like he was, you know, like a fourth grader playing against a high schooler. It was embarrassing to some degree. But you know, big picture, I'm sure he's going to have a great game seven. I'm sure Klay Thompson's going to have a great game seven. And I think it's going to be extremely difficult for LeBron to win. I'm just saying, if LeBron goes out and puts up 30 plus and almost has a triple double, and Kevin Love lays another egg, and Kyrie Irving sucks, I'm not going to look at LeBron and say, you're not there you go again, choking again. I think that's
Love's not going to play. Love didn't play in the last game. He barely played. He played like, I didn't look at his numbers of the final box score, but he played like half of what he normally plays.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see him just being marginalized on that team. And hey, let's make a trade, man. I still believe in that guy. I still think a lot has to do with fit. A lot has to do with, you know, who fits in with the team. And I find it hard to believe that he suddenly lost all that talent that he showed in Minnesota. But any way you look at it, LeBron James, I think, to me, solidified his status as the second best of all time, regardless of what happens on Sunday.
Two games, man. I don't think he could jump off.
Games.
So where was he before this? Where was he located before these two games?
I thought he played well in the first couple games. Yeah, was he dominant? No, but he facilitated. He wasn't the reason Cleveland lost those games.
I agree. He wasn't the reason they lost.
Kyrie Irving was terrible in that first game. Defensively, he was horrific. The second game, he was horrific. He really, the rest of the team played terrible. I didn't think LeBron played bad at all in game one. I thought he played pretty well.
It wasn't that he was bad, but he wasn't able to throw his team on his back like he did in the playoffs last year when the rest of the team wasn't playing as well. Like, you're right. It's not that it wasn't. It's just the fact that at the end of the day, they did get their asses waxed. I don't think people are going to – these two games are going to be – he's done this before. They do not stick the same way if you don't win that title. You cannot say they do. You win that title, these performances go down to some of the best performances in the history of the sport, and this championship solidifies all of LeBron's career. And I will be able to accept any argument. If they win the title on Sunday, you can make the argument about him versus Michael, and I'll have the argument with you. I'll still say Michael's better, but I think he's in that discussion. But he has a perfect opportunity now. It's game 7. You are the best player that has been in this league in 10 freaking years. If you are that great, if you are of that level, you want to be compared to the MJs of the world, you have one game to win. Of all these games you've played in your career, it comes down to one game. And this is the game that's going to prove the most. He's got to win on Sunday.
Yeah, no, we'll see what happens. I disagree with you on that. But I did want to go over really quick before we wrap up. Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes line last night. No points, no assists, 2 rebounds, 0 for 8 shooting, 0 for 5 from 3 in 16 minutes. And I keep on hearing he's going to get a max deal. You would have to be clinically insane to give Harrison Barnes a max deal. I don't understand where this is coming from. Like, what has he done to deserve a max deal? Would you feel comfortable giving him
absolutely not.
With Steph Curry and Thompson, yeah. I wonder how Harrison Barnes would be as the team would be with Harrison Barnes as the alpha dog. They'd be a lottery team because Harrison Barnes sucks. When the game matters most, and he's proven it in this series in Oklahoma City, he's been horrendous. And Harrison Barnes, I'm shocked at how many people I really like and respect on Twitter. And then, like, what do you think of Harrison Barnes? I'm like, I don't want to think of Harrison Barnes. I think he sucks. And if he's going to demand $14, $15 million, $16 million a year, forget that. Turn around.
I agree with you. But he might as well. Look, he plays for the Warriors. He's overrated. I don't have a problem with Harrison Barnes if he gets it. I have a problem with whatever team gave it to him.
Exactly. Don't let it be the Bulls. Let it be the Kings or, you know, one of those teams that make signings like that. So. I understand people are saying, well, there's a lot of money now. It's a big salary cap. You know, that's what they're going to pay. Don't fall for that. There's still – it's still a cap. It's not unlimited supply of money. When you pay a guy almost $20 million a year, that's taking up a
lot
of your cap.
Look at Derrick Rose. Look at what Derrick Rose has done for the last 5 years. He's not good. Or he hasn't been as good. He didn't play for a lot of those years. We weren't able to replace him because he took up – you know, as much cap as he did. You give that to a Harrison Barnes, we already know. Look at the Dallas Mavericks, man, and Chandler Parsons. He's like the face of the franchise now. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. Hey, man, I got to hit the ground running here. It's 35 minutes already. What's your prediction for Game 7?
Oh, God. I mean, it's just I got to go with my head, and my head says Golden State, but my heart says Cleveland.
Yeah, my head says Golden State. My head says Golden State. My heart says Golden State. I just hope that people don't suddenly start with this nonsense because LeBron's lost a bunch of finals that he can't be considered in the elite company. He's 10 times the player Kobe Bryant is.
Yeah.
You know, 10 times a player. And, you know, Kobe Bryant, I know he's got 5 rings, and he shot 6 for 24 in a game 7 that he was given and won because Gasol and Ron Artest picked him up. I mean, come on, man. Anybody who watched basketball, you're going to tell me honestly Kobe Bryant.
LeBron's better.
LeBron James.
No one says that. Who says that? No one says that.
There's a ton of people who say it. I know people say Kobe's better than Jordan, and they're morons, but there's a lot of people believe that. So,
I just saw a ranking that actually had Kobe Bryant higher than LeBron James, but
there you go.
Yeah, there's no question. LeBron James is a better basketball player. It's not even close.
Amen.
But it's not over. But LeBron's got to win another title, man. You cannot have your only titles be in Miami. Yeah. You can't. You got to win a title in Cleveland.
You know how many titles LeBron would have if he played with Shaq via 2000 to 2003? He'd have 3 titles.
Obviously. Kobe Bryant won because the reason Kobe Bryant is 5 is only because he played on like one of the best teams ever. That team was amazing. That team would have given the Bulls a run for their money, man. And the Bulls' reign of championships would have ended at some point because of the Lakers. There's no way that the Bulls, if they stayed together, maybe 99, but by 2000 they would not have been winning anymore because there's no question in my mind that Lakers team would have beaten them at that point, for sure. Because that Lakers team was pretty damn good. And that's what Kobe Bryant had. But I mean, I'll give it the 2 championships that he won though on his own without Shaq, though, because look, we just had Pau Gasol, and what did we do? We didn't make the playoffs.
All right, my man. Yeah, I got to run. Enjoy the finals. Great talking to you again, and let's jump on shortly thereafter, right?
Same to you, buddy. You take care. I'll talk to you soon, and until next time, if it ain't Bulls.
It ain't basketball.